How's everybody doing today? Thank everyone for tuning in and to another study Wednesday nights here. And I'd like to do, you know, last week we went over the issues of sufferings, prayer, healings, things like that. We're going to continue on with that in this study, this week's study here. And the purpose of this study is to make a lot of different doctrines clear, because there's a lot of different doctrines out there in the world today. There are a lot of different doctrines out there in the world today that teach doctrines to people, and what they do is give them a false sense of hope. They give them a sense of what God is doing today, and what they do, they take some things out of the Old Testament. They take some things out of the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, God's workings with Israel, and the way God did things with Israel at that time. And they look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they see certain things like Christ healing the sick, raising the dead, and some of the doctrines that he gave to his 12 apostles at that time. But that was all to show the glad tidings of that kingdom. That was to show that that kingdom was coming in, that it was in their grasp, and it was showing that that Messiah was on hand at that time. And it was showing that he was working, and his word was working through him and the men that he commissioned. But today, man will tell you that they are also commissioned of God, that they also have the gift of healing, that they also have knowledge and prophecy, and they also are ones who's favored of God and God's anointed. Well, that's the purpose of the study, is to try to get some of these hot-button topics fully settled with verses given unto you. But if you will, let's get going and let's recap what we talked about last week. What we talked about last week is with prayer. Prayer is not a list of things that we give the Father to go and do. God's not, he doesn't wait around for you to have a, you know, complete your checklist and send it in to him and wait for it to come to you. You know, and also we looked at the fact that if God was to deliver us from our problems, he would heal us. He would take away all our sufferings. He would financially take care of us. But we would not know a thing more than we knew before, doctrinally. It wouldn't benefit your inner man. It would only benefit the outer man, the man that God cannot use, the man that God does not use. Satan is the one that uses your outer man. And that's what we tend to cater to, because that's something the soul, that's what the soul drives. It drives that outer man. And also, our prayer life would be a one-way street with God. We would ask him something, and he would just give it to us. After a while, that would get old. Might seem good, but after a while, it would get old, because you'd never have the opportunity to allow his word to go to work for you in your inner man. And that's the main focus. That's the purpose of God leaving his spoken word behind, so we can take it and allow that to go to work in our circumstances of life. If that was the case, he would have left us, left angels to minister unto us, or prophets, which some think they are today, but that's not true, and we're going to take a look at that. And also, we would never have the opportunity to be strengthened in our inner man. We would never have the opportunity to have the power of Christ to rest upon us when we go through sufferings, tribulations, and things that affect us. And not only that, the angelic realm would never get the chance to see the power of God's word working effectually within us. That's also key also. See, prayer is a one-on-one communication between you and the Father. And he talks to you through his word, his written word, the Bible. That's the only way he talks to you today. And we make known our understanding of how his word is working through us or is not working through us like it ought to be. Now let's take a look at some of the things to see how man can, sometimes they can say that God is talking to them in prayer. What I mean by that is, man will pray to God, and then he'll say that God answers him. Some men will say, well, you know, God gave unto me, or God told me, or man will stand up in the pulpit and say, God told me to tell you. Well, if that man is saying that, that man is saying the actual God of the universe is speaking through this man. That would be considered good news. That would be considered God breathed. That would be considered, yea, hath God said. If the actual God of the universe, not the God of this world, which is Satan, but actually God of the third heaven, is speaking to them and through them. And, you know, God's not just going to speak to one man and just tell him something concerning his problems, concerning his situation that day, that he's only going to tell maybe two people or maybe a congregation of people. When God makes known his word, he makes it known for the whole world. That's how God worked. That's how he's always worked. We can even look at some of the things, some people, they find the Dead Sea Scrolls or the Apocrypha, and they say, well, you see, God, we found these words, and these should be included in the Bible. Well, that's not the case, because God has never left his word to be found anywhere. That's not the way he works. He has always given his word to man so man can speak. God breathed out to other man. And that's the way it's always worked. But, you know, some people will say, well, you can't tell me what I heard. No. But see, there's many people walking around downtown who hear things also. You know, all you have to do is get someone who says God's talking to us. They hear voices, put a microphone on him, and put him in front of a congregation. And that man will make millions. But see, that's not how God's word works. And see, and oftentimes, it's the conscience of man that talks for God. I'm going to repeat that. It's man's own conscience that talks for God. What I mean by that is, man will make his inward man say something for God. That it's only going to cater to his own desires and his wants and his needs. I've heard people say, well, I know God's voice. But see, they'll change the voice. They'll throw in a couple of these and nows and say, my son, thou art, whatever, to make it sound official. But that's not how God's word works. See, but man doesn't have enough guts to write it down, publish it, and come up with his own book right after the book of Revelations and put his name on it, whether it's Alfred or Edward, and have Edward book 1, 2, 3, and 4. You know, man doesn't have enough guts to do that. But we listen to people say that to us. Well, God told me to tell. And then we don't have anything to say regarding that. And if we were to think that man was talking to people, we would actually have to think that the angel Gabriel talked to Muhammad in the year 599. We would have to think that Islam is, there's truth to it. We would actually have to think that, Joseph Smith, who said the angel Gabriel talked to him, 1881. We would have to think that there's truth to that doctrine that they teach. But how you know that man is not, that God is not talking to man? You have to go to the scriptures, and that's what we're going to do. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. When we look at Galatians chapter 1, we've all read that before. But when we say that God is talking to us, you know, we talk with God and then God talks back to us in our prayer. What we're saying is we're actually saying that we have another gospel. That's good news. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, and so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Now this here talks about, you know, you have men, they say that, God spoke to them, and they give this doctrine, or they tell people what they heard. God, so even if it's some people say, well, they're up there preaching and they say that God told them this one thing. You know, they don't, back even 1600, people were burned at the stake for that. That's called blasphemy. That's profane. God uses that word profane in the scriptures. You can look in the book of Jeremiah. We don't have time to go there right now, but the book of Jeremiah talks about the profaneness of man and how man is speaking, saying he's speaking for God. Jesus Christ himself was called a Beelzebub because the Pharisees said that he was speaking for God. Today we don't look upon it with much emphasis like we ought to. When the man comes along and says that God told him or God gave him something to say to you. But now when we see this here, Paul says that he marveled that people are so soon removed from him. You know, he gave him that gospel, but others come along and say, well, you know, God told me this and God told me that. And what do you do? Well, what you do is you go back to the scriptures. Now let's take a look at these things. And what I want to show is Paul is the last man that God spoken to in the Bible. It wasn't the book of Revelations, like some might say. Paul was the last man that was spoken to in the Bible. And we'll see this in what the Bible says. Now turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, Paul is going to explain about the ministry that he has. Paul is going to explain not only the ministry, but what he was given, the gift that he was given. And we're going to see this over here in Colossians chapter 1. Come to verse 23. Come down to verse 23. Paul says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And what Paul is, I'm going to stop there. What Paul is saying, he is made a minister to everyone under heaven. That's all people. That's what his gospel is designed to. Paul is our apostle. You know, and when people find themselves over in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John getting those instructions, or anywhere else, or Second Chronicles and getting the prayer, Jabez, and things like that, those things are not written to you. They're written for your learning. But when you rightly divide the word of truth, you'll know what is talking to you and what is not talking to you. Regardless what the preacher says, you have to stand by God's word and his word alone. Verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake. Now, I'm going to stop there. Notice, Paul's explaining about those afflictions. He's saying it's for his body's sake. And that's us. We are members of his body. But Paul is saying the afflictions that he's taken upon himself, he's saying he's not moved by those things. He's saying he's doing this for us, which is the church. And that there it is there, which is the church. Paul says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. To what? To fulfill the word of God. Paul says he is given a job to be a minister, an administration here. And that's to fulfill the word of God. That's what he says his job is, to fulfill. He means fully fill. That's what fulfill means. Well, at least that's what it means in the Bible here. When you look in the King James Bible, the translators there, when they use that fulfill, that means fully fill. So we see Paul's job is to fulfill the word of God here. Now go over to Romans chapter 15. Let's go to Romans chapter 15. Let's look at verse 29. Romans 15, verse 29, Paul says, and I am sure that when I come unto you, that I shall come into the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now here, Paul is saying that he knows by the time he comes to Rome, this is in the book of Romans, that he is going to come unto the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. What that means is when he's going to come unto that fullness, there's going to be nothing left out. And that's the gospel of Christ. You know he's going to come unto the fullness of the gospel of Christ. And, you know, for men to say today that God is speaking to them outside of or these other denominations that or religions and saying that God is speaking to them, Paul is saying about he's going to receive a fullness by the time he gets to Rome and get and when he goes to prison. Now let's look at Timothy. Let's look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's go to verse 17. Yeah, come down to verse 17 here. Paul says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now you see here, Paul says that by him the preaching might be fully known. Not by these other guys that say that God, yea, hath God said. Not by these other guys that stand up and say, God gave them to me to tell you. But it says by Paul. Paul says that by me the preaching might be fully known. And when it says might, it's not saying maybe it could be. No, it's that it is, it will be. That by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear. And Gentiles, that's the whole, all nations. That's the whole world. As we've seen, Paul says his job is to fulfill the word of God because he is made a minister to every creature which is under heaven. Then Paul says, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now, we have to know, did Paul do this? Did Paul actually fulfill the word of God? When Paul got to Rome, did he come into the fullness of the blessing of the gospel like he said? Also, did he do like this verse here says? He says that by me, the preaching might be fully known. That's fully known. Nothing left out. And that all the Gentiles might hear. Well, you don't have to wonder. Let's back up a little bit. Let's back up to verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let's look at verse 6. Verse 6, Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Well, right there we see Paul says he finished his course. If Paul says he finished his course, Paul says he's finished his job. Paul was sent to fully seal the word of God, and that by him all the preaching of Jesus Christ might be made fully known. And there's nothing left out. It's not left for a man over in Idaho somewhere on his knees praying, receiving a revelation from God. And by the time he gets to you to give you that message, he's going to forget everything he just heard. Matter of fact, I'm talking to you now, and you couldn't even give me 100 words of what I said to you. And how can man think that God is speaking through them and giving revelation onto others when that's not the way God works? When God worked that way, he worked that way by revelation, and that man was moved by the Holy Ghost. His hand was moved as he wrote. And when we look at Ephesians, let's come there real quick. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to go there real quick because we have a lot of verses to cover in a short amount of time. And we're going to look at that issue because some people will say they're apostles and prophets today. And we're going to see how that word was translated from God to his holy men and given to us and why there were apostles and prophets in the church in that day. Ephesians chapter 3, let's go to verse 1 here. Paul says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the gospel, the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Now, people will say, well, see, verse 5, it says that now it's revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. See? It's revealed unto us, and you see how we can get, no. What it's saying is, back up to verse 3 here. Paul says how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And then he says, verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. See, that's how they got that. That's how it was, and like in verse 5 it says, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that capital S, the Word of God. This is the way it works 2,000 years ago in the early church, in the early Gentile church with the apostles and prophets. Paul would get the revelation, and Paul would take that revelation, he'd write it down, and it was just him, he didn't have a secretary. Like some might think, Paul wrote every epistle with his own hand, and that's what he says in every epistle. He wrote every epistle. And when you see the word, you see over there in Romans 15 when it says Epaphras, that's Paul's Roman name. Paul wrote every epistle. That's what the Word of God says. But see, Roman history would tell you that there was another guy named Epaphras, and Paul had poor eyesight. Paul had the best eyes in the world at that time. And Paul didn't need his eyesight if he's getting revelation from God also. Another thing, people had handkerchiefs sent to Paul to heal. You mean tell me Paul couldn't heal his own eyesight? Because people look at that Galatians when it talks about that infirmities in the flesh and that thorn Paul had in the flesh and you know, plucked out his own eyes and things like that. But that's not what that's talking about. But that's a whole different study. We'll go there some other time. But the way it worked, I don't want to get off track here. The way it worked, Paul got the revelation, like he said, by revelation, he was made known the mystery. Then he took that epistle. And when he gave that epistle to Timothy, Apollos, Silvanus, one of his disciples, he took that epistle and gave it to them. Those men, when they came to that church, when those men, those holy men, the disciples, when they gave that epistle to the church, those men were called an apostle, because apostle means man sent from God. So because these men had the epistles in their hand that Paul wrote, he would give it to them. Now when they give it to the church, the man that stands up there and reads, he's reading the Word of God. It's coming out of his mouth. He is a prophet. That's how it worked at that time. You know, everybody wasn't getting revelations from God. Paul was a chosen vessel, not this man over here in Corinth or another guy over there. Paul got the revelation. He gave it to other men to and as they walked to the church or to give the epistle to the church. They were considered an apostle. They were a man sent from God. And the man that stood up in that pulpit, he was a prophet. He prophesied. He gave God's word through him. Well, let's get back on the issue here. And let's look at the issue of, does God call men into the ministry? Because some people, fittingly speaking enough, talking about that, men saying they're prophets and things. Let's go with that. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to see how a man should be a preacher, pastor, teacher, bishop. And this is what we're taught, how a man ought to be, ones that would say that he's a teacher or he's an elder or elder of a church. 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is a true saying, verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, He desireth a good work. I'm going to stop there. In order to, when man says that God calls him into the ministry, what man is saying, he's saying that he's somewhere, just say he's a youth or he's somewhere and God takes him out of there. God moves the universe for this man. He's doing everything all around, centered around this plan for this man to lead his people because this man is just that special. Well, the Word of God says if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. It's a desire. It's a zeal. It's something that you have to have. You have to be taught. It's something that you have. You can't. We're told you can't be a novice. A novice means an unlearned man. But some will go to seminaries and they learn how to speak. They learn all the gifts of gab from the other guys that showed them how to do it. But they don't fully understand God's word. They might know Bible stories. They might know the what of the Bible, but they don't know the why of it. Also, let's go to 2 Timothy. We're going to look at this issue of how we gain knowledge. And also when we looked at Ephesians chapter 3, when it says, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. That's how we get the knowledge of God. We get it by reading. It's not something that God pours into a man and he's gifted and he has a glow to him and he has the certain gift to be able to walk around and God's word's coming through him and he's 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. In other words, Timothy was taught. Paul talks about that gift that was given to him, that he stir up, that was given, that he said with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Paul says that he put that in him with his own hands. He put that in him. He was taught that. And he says, commit this to faithful men that's in the faith, men that want to be that man of understanding, men that want to be as a Thessalonians, that regardless of their sufferings, still teaching the doctrine in truth, sound doctrine, not just what people say, not just taking what they heard, but what God's word says. And you see here, it's a teaching process. Let's come over to Titus, the next book over. Let's come to Titus. Titus chapter 1. Let's go to verse 9. Titus 1, verse 9. Paul says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine to both exhort and convince the gainsayers. And you see what Paul says here, holding fast the faithful word. And he says, has he been taught as he has been taught? That's letting that word of Christ dwell richly within you. And you be able to go out there and not be a workman that needeth, being ashamed. You're taught to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And it says that he may by sound doctrine to both exhort and convince the gainsayers. When you exhort someone, you're doing it with doctrine. You're not out there debating who won the game. You're not debating, arguing with someone over something concerning this world. You're exhorting them to help them. That if they're not teaching or they're caught up in unsound doctrine, you're trying to help them by what you've been taught. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 2. Let's go to the book of Colossians chapter 2. And let's come to verse 7 for time's sake here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Paul says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And you see what he says here, rooted and built up in him. That's that doctrine actually taking root within you. That's that doctrine actually taking root in you and building you up. Built up, that's that edification process. And you look at that built up, That's used for the sense of edifying. When we look at edifying, you know, building is called an edifice. And that's that building process there. And you being built up strong enough, established in the faith. And like I said, the only way to get that is you have to be taught that. You can't ask God to, you can't pray to God and say, well, you can. Pray to God and say, well, God, I pray you give me knowledge. I pray your knowledge will come in my heart. I pray this. Well, that's a prayer you can pray. That is a prayer that you can pray. But to actually pray that God would make it come in your heart without you putting your nose in the book, that's not going to happen. Because if it could happen that way, God wouldn't have had to have men suffer and be persecuted and be, like Paul said, the things he went through for this word. If God could just, you know, pour it into man and man get that knowledge. And we're going to look at some of the things, if we have time, that Paul went through. But enough of that for now. And I hope it's fully settled with everyone about looking at these issues about the knowledge, how we gain knowledge, how we, if men are called of God, about healings, about the prayer. Is God talking to you in prayer? But what we have to do, and this is the main problem of why people lose track and why people get deceived by things like that, is because of improper way of thinking. And with that, can you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12? And when we're looking at Romans chapter 12, we're looking at what Paul tells us how our thinking ought to be, what our inner man should be focused on. And we're going to see this, we're going to go through these verses here and show that that's the root of the problem. Romans chapter 12, let's go to verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. What I'm after is verse 3 there. See, we're told we should, verse 2 says we should conform, we should not be conformed to this world. But we should have a transforming, we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. God knows our mind is conformed to this world already. But what is supposed to take place is there's supposed to be a renewing. There's supposed to be a renewing of your mind concerning your prayer life, sufferings, the things we see about healings, anything that goes on with our life, knowledge, whether God talks to man. We need a renewing of our mind concerning God's word. And what that is concerning the way man says that God's will is and what God teaches today. We need to look at what God actually says and renew our mind towards that thing. And verse 3, Paul says, he says, to every man that is among you, that's everyone. Paul's a minister to every creature which is under heaven. That's all of us. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Soberly, that means sober-minded. According as God has given, as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. What that means is, God has dealt to every man, every creature under the earth, human creature under the earth, the same amount of faith. God's not preferring you over another saint. God's not going to change situations or make it where you make it home safe or you make it to do what you want to do or out of your circumstance, but allow another saint to die. Or now allow another saint to go through the sufferings. That's not the way he works. And when we think that, we actually slander the grace of God. You're saying that God is being partial. You're saying that God is picking and choosing you over another saint. That's not the way God works. God has never worked that way. And the only time when you see in God's word that certain things happen where you see Paul got bitten by vipers, and Paul, he shook it off, and before, Paul could not die until he completed God's written word. And that goes with any man. Man could not die if they were filled with the Holy Ghost like Stephen. When Stephen was being stoned, when he was given the gospel, when he was given the gospel to the Pharisees, the religious man of that day. And when he said, "Father, God, receive my soul," at that point it says he gave up the ghost. He was finished. He was done with his testimony. And, you know, that's another thing. When we look at Paul, when we look at these things, these sufferings, how do we think that we can avoid these sufferings when we see the things that Paul went through? Paul was writing these things from prison. When Paul says he rejoices in these things and he glories in these things, the thing, we're going to look at the things that Paul went through. But let's go to 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to see another way how our thinking ought to be. Our thinking ought to not be about ourselves all the time. God has given every one of us equally the same amount of grace, of faith. We were all members of one body, with no member being the head but Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. "Well, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And see, there it is there. We have a treasure within us, this written word, that's being able to go through our man, our inner man, and strengthen it so we can show the excellency of the power of God. You do that when you go through these sufferings and you take God's word and you allow it to take care of those sufferings, to handle those sufferings, to make it where those sufferings aren't affecting you like Satan would want it to. And again, you have to remember, you have to renew your mind to the fact that the power, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of you. Look at the next verse. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despaired. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you." See, the key is possessing the gift that the Father says come by the way of His Son, changing our way of thinking. See, we have to understand that. See, Paul, he suffered extreme things, where he even says he despaired even of life. Paul says he despaired of his own life. He was going through so much. Like he said, he's persecuted on every side at all times. But see, his attitude was not as his natural man, his outer man. Paul's attitude wasn't concerning his outer man. The first thing we need to do is come to a realization that just as Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for us, we, being members of his body, ought to possess that unselfish attitude concerning the power of God. See, our thinking ought to be renewed toward the will of God in everything. Everything we do, that's including our sufferings. You know, and I know we can go through and experience some very troublous times in our life, but we should understand that the excellency of the power of God should be of him and for his sake, not ours. You know, you have to notice Paul's attitude towards the sufferings in verse 8 and 10. See, no matter what he goes through, he has a positive outlook on everything. On each situation, Paul has a positive outlook. He says, persecuted but not forsaken. I'm cast down but not destroyed. And that's what our thinking ought to be. We ought to have that same attitude. Let's come down to verse 15. We're running out of time here. Come down to verse 15 here. Paul says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." I'm going to stop there. Some people say, well, see, right there it says it's for our sakes. Well, Paul said, for all things are for your sakes. The all things are the things that we saw last week in Romans 8:29-31. The idea that he foreknew us, we were predestinated, we were justified, called, glorified. Those are the all things that we have to put our sights on, that what God did for us, he did all those things for us. The only thing we ought to do is be able to do this for his sake. And like that's why it says here, it says that the abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, not the glory of Michael or the glory of Rod or whoever. It says to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And that's the key to us renewing our mind here, is understanding that verse there. And I'm going to say it again, verse 16, for which cause we faint not. Now, I know the things we go through in life, it would cause you to faint. And what that faint means, that means throwing the towel. I know the things we go through will cause you to faint. But it says here, but though our outward man perish, and that's showing you, the outward man is perishing. And notice how Paul compares the outward man with the inward man here. And you're going to see the inward man is the only man that God is healing and blessing today. That's the only man that God is healing and blessing. And he says, though our outward man perish, that's reality, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, which is your new reality, if you allow it to be. And your inward man is renewed with the doctrine. When you place in that doctrine within yourself, going from that milk to meat design in this, because when we look at 2 Corinthians is designed, it's suffering. The whole epistle is dedicated to sufferings. It's dedicated to the sufferings of this present time. And then when you get to Philippians, you see in Philippians, the book of Philippians, and I don't know if we have time to go there, but it's dedicated to the sufferings of Christ. And the saints were going through those sufferings at that time. Then when you look in the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy through Philemon, now you see the sufferings given unto a man of understanding, a man of God, one that's out there with the doctrine, and how you have Satan's attack against him, and he's suffering based upon that, even suffering to lose his life. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to look at the things that Paul went through here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let's go to verse 23. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. And Paul's going to say all the things that he went through here. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In laborers, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. I'm going to stop there. Paul says the things he went through, he says in death. And when that's death, that's speaking to, we're going to see Paul says he was stoned. When people stoned, they were professional rock throwers in Judea at that time. When they stoned someone, they stoned them to death. And when you look at the account of that, when Paul was stoned, Paul leaped back up because he wasn't done with his testimony. Let's see here, verse 24. This is what Paul received. Of the Jews, 5 times received thy 40 stripes, save one. Paul was whipped. When 40 stripes would cause one to die. Because when they were whipped, scourged, when they whipped the back of someone, it just, I don't want to go into the gory details of what would happen, but 5 times that was given unto Paul. Now, any man could not just take that and survive that. You would know what his back would look like given that. But let's go to verse 25. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. and perils in the sea, and perils among many false brethren. I'm going to stop there. Paul is telling you of the things that he went through as he's preaching the doctrine. Now, if just say Paul was not preaching the doctrine and he was just a guy walking along at that time, one of those things would have killed him. Whether it was robbers, being in the water, being left there for a day and a half, and so on in the wilderness, that would have killed him. Verse 27, in weariness, painfulness, and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, cold and nakedness, beside those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care for all the churches. Who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is offended? And I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will rather of the things which concern my infirmities. See, Paul's saying he can glory in all those things. Paul's saying he can glory in all those things there that we can't even deal with one of those things. But Paul glories in those things. And he says he wants to glory in those things because when he knows when he's weak, then the power of Christ is put on display. And Christ's doctrine is made strong through you. Now let's come over to Philippians and let's look at this. Look at a couple things here. Close in about 5 minutes here. Philippians chapter 4, and this is a very popular verse here. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When Paul says be careful for nothing, Paul is saying don't be so full of care. That's what careful means. Careful means being full of care for something. In other words, having your, like, with anger. We can allow ourselves to be careful with anger. So full of care about this one subject. Where can rule our life? Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. Next verse, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The only thing promised there is the peace of God dealing with the prayer. And the peace of God comes by way of you reading. Once you read the doctrine and have it work effectively within you as a mature saint, you'll learn the peace of God in your situation, in whatever you're going through. You'll learn that peace of God in whatever you're going through because of his word. And that will give you that peace of God. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. Now, what things? He's saying those things there, the things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report, virtue, praise. Those things are what you're supposed to think about when you go through things. And notice what he says, verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you. Now, that's how people get the peace of God, by what he just said in verse 9. The things which you have learned, doctrine, received, also doctrine working throughout you, and led, actually not just learned it, but actually receiving it, and heard, and seen in, like Paul says, seen in me, do. Paul will tell you that he's our apostle. Paul says, follow me as you follow Christ. And says, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last of your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful. Now that's full of care also. But ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak of want, for I have learned. But listen to what Paul says here. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul, and we've seen all the stuff that Paul went through. But Paul says, whatever things he went through, he's learned to be content in those things. The next verse, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. In other words, low and high. Everywhere in all things. That's all things, whatever he went through. I am instructed to be both full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Now, people take that verse there, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, and they put it on billboards, they put it on the back of their license plate, they put it everywhere. That's a lot of people's MO right there. And they think that when they say that, they're saying that anything they set their life to do, God's going to be right there with them, strengthening them. And they say, well, God, I want to be an astronaut. I'm right there with you, son. Go ahead. You can do all things. Remember that. You can do all things through me. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm right behind you. That's not what that's talking about. Paul is saying he knows how to do, he can do all things, meaning he can take on all these sufferings standing on his head. He can do all these sufferings because he has that word. And he can do all these sufferings through Christ, which strengthened him. How does Christ strengthen him? Through the word. Now, let's take a look. Let's come down a little bit, and because we're running out of time here. And let's look at the one verse. Let's look at verse 18. Paul says, but I have all and abound. I am full and having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Again, that's another misused verse. When it says, but my God shall supply all your need, that's all your necessity. And how does God do that? Through his word. And that's what he explains. Later on, if you get time, read the book of Philippians and see what the church was going through at that time. And you'll see that need was not anything, not what people say, that, oh, God blesses me. You see this verse here? And you see how it's done according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. When you get a chance, look over at Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, when Paul says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That's Paul's prayer, that they get more knowledge. That's what Paul prayed for. And also, Philippians 1:25, Paul says, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance of joy of faith. And then later on he says, in verse 30, he says, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. They were going through the same thing Paul was going through, but not they were being persecuted. That's why Philippians 1:29, it says, for unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, not yours. Now, with that, I'm going to close. I'm going to close with that. And I hope this has been a enlightening study for everyone. And I hope we got pretty much down where we're looking at the doctrine of suffering, sonship sufferings, and prayer, and healings, and that God says he's only healing the inner man, not the outer man. The inner man is renewed day by day. And that when we go through things, it's about Christ's sake, not our sakes, when we go through things in our life. And now I'm going to open the Q&A, and if you *61 will get you into the queue. *61 will get you into the queue. And also what I want to do is announce the winner of the giveaway, last week's giveaway. We had a giveaway on the Bible study site, One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism.net, and the 1,000th subscriber. I was going to give them a package of booklets and books. One is Satan and His Plan of Evil by Keith Blades. Another one is Properly Handling the Word of Truth by Keith Blades. Another one is The Adoption of Sons, Dictionary of the Gospel, and then quite a few other booklets packaged up to hopefully give the winner a lot of doctrine to read, keep him busy. And the winner is Talisha Johnson. She was the 1,000th subscriber. So whenever you get the opportunity, well, I will be contacting her by way of email and getting her information and sending that to her. and want to thank her and everyone else for subscribing to that, to the Bible study site. There's a lot of useful information on there. Not only Bible, there's over hundreds of Bible doctrine on there. Also, there is helpful links to other Bible study sites. That's very helpful to others. But also, what I want to do is talk about the next week's study. I'm going to give you that title, and we have been working on the Romans chapter 6, and we're going to see, we're going to move on to that. But I'll give you that title soon. I'll text it to everyone, email to everyone. But this is something, again, we have to make sure that we fully come to understand what God is doing and what God is not doing today. And again, with man saying that God is speaking to him, and, you know, he prays unto God, and then God is coming back talking with them, that's not how God works in this day and time. God's not moving the universe to make sure that you have what you ask of him. And what he is doing is he's giving you his word. He's giving you his word to work effectually within you. And he's giving you the privilege. He's giving you a privilege that we don't fully grasp, the privilege to live unto him, to let the power of God rest upon us. That's a huge privilege that most don't understand, fully grasp. What I want to do is go to the one caller. The last four digits of your number is 0262. You're in the queue.
Hey, Rod, this is Mike down in Marion Junction, Alabama. Thanks for letting me in. But first, I'd like to say, you know, the 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study yourself truth, approving to God that a workman needeth not be ashamed, rather dividing the word of truth." And I've only been studying for about a year. And the one thing that I know you have to realize is that there's two programs. There's Israel's program, and then there's our program. And right now, you know, if you read, you know, that God is silent. And like you said, he's only talking to us through his word. And, you know, these people that say that God is talking to them, if you read Paul's epistles, he warns you in several of his letters, you know, Romans 16:18, Philippians 3:19, and 2 Timothy 3:1-7, about people that they claim to be apostles and talking to God. And then he goes even further in Ephesians and tells you the requirements to even hold that office, like you pointed out earlier.
That's right.
So if you read, you know, you come to realize what the truth of God is. And that's right. You're not deceiving people into thinking that God is talking to them and they want to run a believer, that just goes to show that they aren't studying their Bible.
That's right. That's right. That is exactly right on. And that's one thing, but there's man out here and that untruth is being propagated more than the truth is. And that's the way it always been. You look at the Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, that one family was saved. You look at with Noah, only eight families had the truth, had the light in the world. And you notice when Christ came back, think about how many people were saved at that time when Christ came back. When John the Baptist stepped on the scene, think about how many of the remnant were saved. We can tell by just looking at, when you look at Acts chapter 1, you look at the saved individuals there compared to this world. And that's the way it's always going to be. That doctrine of untruth is going to be preached to the world here. And like you say, man doesn't take what God's word says to him and live by that, by sound doctrine. You know, it's that counterfeit doctrine is what's being preached. You are
right.
Definitely right about that. Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. And that's and then that's another thing we have to do again. We have to renew our mind and be not conformed to this world. And some would say, well, I'm preaching. You know, we have our church. Well, because you have a church doesn't mean you're preaching the truth. If you're basing everything upon the things that you do in that church and the things that you say you do in your life outside of God's word, that doesn't mean anything. I want to go to the next caller. 4391. You are in the queue.
How you doing, Pastor Ron?
How are you doing, my friend?
Doing great. Yes, just a little comment on a little bit with the gentleman just said just before about the false apostles' teaching. But I was looking at Philippians where it said 15. And it's Philippians 1:15.
Right.
Where it says, some indeed preach Christ, every envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preacher Christ come this sincerely support to add afflictions to the bond. They got right there. That's not yet. We'll see. Some indeed preach Christ, every strife. Yes, that some preach Christ, even as every strife, and some of goodwill. So the one, the preacher of the goodwill is Paul, because he suffered just Christ did. Just as much as Christ did. He suffered to get the word across to us. You know, he suffered for that.
Yeah.
You know, and he preached it, some indeed preach of Christ of every stripe and some of a good will. And then if other false apostles don't preach that.
That's exactly right. You know, and you had some people that, you know, when you're looking at this, you know, in like verse 17 it says, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. See, you know, some people, you know, you have some people preaching, and we looked over there, like Mike said over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 15, but when you look in chapter 16, there were Hymenaeus and Philolytus. They were preaching that the resurrection is past already. They were preaching Christ, but they were preaching it not according to the way they ought to. You know, when you're preaching Christ of envy and strife, you're not preaching the way God intended. You know, the way God intended is you to preach it out of love, goodwill and love there.
Goodwill love,
and
love, right.
And like Paul says in verse 16, the one preached Christ of contention and sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds. You know, they were saying that Paul was not preaching the truth. They were saying, you look at Paul, he's in prison. You mean to tell me you're following Paul and he's a prisoner? He's a sinner? He's in prison. So and that's why Paul says he calls himself a prisoner and he's being looked upon as preaching the untruth there.
Yeah, 17, I also say that the other love him that I said for the defense of the gospel.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah, he said he sets for the defense of the gospel there. And Paul was looked upon as being the one preaching untruth. And that's the way this world is getting. It's getting to the point where the darkness is being perceived as light. And light is being perceived as darkness. Man is totally turned everything around. And if you come preaching to people, talking to people about, you'll say, well, no, you can't, you know, once saved, always saved is not, you know, once saved, always saved. People say, wait a minute, so you're saying you can do what you want to do? Now they're turning your truth of light into darkness. And they're going to call you a fool by telling them that, well, God's not talking back to you when you pray to him. What?
Mm-hmm.
How are you, you know, so again, they're turning that darkness into light, and that's being perceived off as the truth. Yeah, but I appreciate you again. I appreciate you every week tuning in and offering another shed of light on the doctrine.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you very much. Okay, Star 6-1 will get you in the queue, and again, what we're going to do is I'm going to see how things go with the response to the study, and if need be for a follow-up on it, I will do that also. Other than that, I will go to Romans chapter 6, and we'll begin, pick our studies back up. But I felt it needful to actually take this hiatus from that because of the questions and answers, and we got to the point when it says about being planted together, you know, and just idea of actually wanting to make sure everyone's grounded and rooted in the same doctrines. And I know we all face people that have said these things to us. So hopefully some of the doctrine has been helpful, whereas you can share it with others. I'm going to take another caller, last four digits is 5189. 5189, you're in the queue.
Hi, Brother Rod. It's Talisha Johnson.
Hey, Talisha, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good. pretty good.
That's good. That's good. I really enjoyed the study today.
Thank you.
And
very much.
I also want to say thank you for the study package. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Oh, no problem. No problem. I'll be contacting you about the information where I can send it and everything like that also.
Okay. Awesome. I have one quick question.
Sure.
What exactly does it mean when you hear people say that they're being led by the Holy Spirit? Is that something that the Apostle Paul is preaching today, would you say?
Well, Paul, we are led by the Holy Spirit, like in Romans chapter 8 talks about we're led by the Spirit. But what that means is you're led by the actual Word of God. You're led by the words from the pages of the book being given to you, the living Word of the living God living inside of you. And that's that word being taken in you and you letting it work effectually from the inside out. And when you let his word work effectually within you from the inside out, that's how you are led. And any decision that has anything that goes on or whatever decision you need to make in life, when you need to know, what should I do? Or how should I, or what's going on in my life? You're supposed to be led by what God's word said you should do. And even though it doesn't pinpoint exactly the certain thing that you're facing, you have to do it by way of love, like we're taught. Any decision-making, any doctrine that we have to do this with a godly viewpoint. So if things happen, you know, you're supposed to be led by the Spirit in that. Someone cuts you off in traffic or at the line in the shopping center. You have to, instead of following this world's way of doing it, being led by that, be led by what the doctrine says, knowing that this light of affliction is but for a moment. And look not at the things which you see, but the things which are unseen. You know, and that's the way it means, that's what it means by being led by the Spirit.
Okay. All righty. Thank you so much. I have a clear understanding now. You have a blessed night.
Oh, thank you. Talk to you later. I'll be contacting you.
All righty. Thank you.
All right, bye. Okay, and with that, we're going to close. And again, I really do appreciate everyone for listening in. And next week's study, we will go over specific doctrines. I will give you all information of what that will be. So until next week, I appreciate everyone for listening in. Till next week.
If this study has been of some help to you, you can always tune back in every Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern to listen in for more of God's edification, Rightly Divided. And also you can listen to this study over again on the playback number of 641-715-3609. That's 641-715-3609. And this study will be available all week. Thanks again for listening in. Thank you. If this study has been of some help to you, you can always tune back in every Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern to listen in for more of God's edification, Rightly Divided. And also you can listen to this study over again on the playback number of 641-715-3609. That's 641-715-3609. And this study will be available all week. Thanks again for listening in.